This chapel message is brought to you by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations.
Well, today I want to talk about the subject of the pride of life. The pride of life. And it's, I think, something that every one of us, probably at some point or another, sometimes more than others, we struggle with this idea of pride. And I'm going to kind of zero in on this subject today. I want to begin by looking at 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but of the world." I also want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "But know this, that in the last times, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, and proud." The idea of pride, the pride of life. But we know two things, is just on these two verses of Scripture alone, that number one, pride is not of the Father. And this is not a gift we get from God. It's not from God. So if it's not from God, it must be an influence of the enemy. And the second thing we notice in these two verses of Scripture is that pride will be on the increase in the last days. So you'll see this, if you were charting this out, pride's always been a big issue. It was what Satan caused his falling, I think, in the beginning. It was centered around pride. But you'll see this kind of charted increase on the increase of pride as the day of the Lord kind of approaches. I was interested by a story about a pastor who'd served God faithfully for years and years and years, and he was at his retirement. He was getting ready to retire, and so he was kind of going through some stuff, getting ready to move to the retirement home and finish up their last assignment. And he got into a closet and was trying to pack it up, and he found a box that was interestingly had a box of like a dozen eggs, but there was only five eggs in the container, in the carton for the eggs. And there was a large sum of money. He started counting the money. It was about $10,000 in this box. And so about that time, his wife walked in and he said, "Honey, do you know anything about these eggs, these five eggs and this large sum of money?" And she said, "Well, honey, yes. When you first went into ministry years ago, I got this carton of eggs, and I decided every time you preached a bad sermon, I would put an egg in this carton and kind of keep that as a reminder of the bad sermon you preached." And he just was touched by that. He thought, "Well, honey, I can't tell you what that means to me to know that after all these years of preaching and all these years of serving the Lord and as many sermons as you heard that I preached, there are only five eggs." He said, "I'm just really touched." He was a little proud in that moment. And he said, "But honey, what about the $10,000? And she said, "Well, every time I got a dozen, I sold them. And that was the money I collected for the for our retirement." And so all of a sudden, this kind of pride of life that he had and how he was only had five eggs apparently had been multiplied over and over and over again. There's a great song that we've sung in church many times, and it talks about there's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's a great line in there. "Would you be free of your passions and pride? There's power in the blood." Today I want to talk a little bit about this idea, kind of focusing on this, the pride of life, looking at this particular angle on this. Would we be free of our pride? I think for us to be ultimately be used by God in a powerful way, we've got to deal with the pride that gets in the way of our being fully used by God. Mike and I had a privilege, it's probably, Mike, probably 2 years ago now, we did a podcast with Zandra Chang and her story. She was one of our early success stories in the Center for Well-Being about coaching and burnout. And she was recommended by our team who had done some coaching with her, and this story's public. And you can go back and listen to the podcast. It's a really powerful interview, and her story was incredible. But it's a CMD Matters interview on the subject of burnout. And she's a surgeon, had hit a burnout, had an accident on the way home from work one day. Could have been a fatal accident, and God spared her life. And so we were having this conversation with her, and it was my turn to ask a question. And I asked her what she learned about God and through this process. I was kind of anticipating what I thought the answer would be, when she gave back, but I was completely shocked by her answer. And she said, what I learned about God in this story was that I needed to repent. That I needed to repent. I was taken back by that answer, and I asked a follow-up question. And she went further to say that she said, I needed to repent of my pride, thinking that I could do all this by myself. I was leaning on my own strength. I was leaning on my own abilities. And this had all happened during the COVID season, and she just kept going and going and going and thinking, I'm a doctor. I can do this, and I can make it on my own strength. And she said, I needed to repent of my pride. I want you to think about this statement. Pride is the sin that is so obvious in others, but so oblivious to us. Think about that. Pride is the sin that is so obvious. I can see it in you. You can see it in someone else. But so often it's so difficult to see in ourselves. Like we just don't have any idea that we have this sin of pride. And other people can see it. We don't. We skip right over it. Matthew 16 verse 18 says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. Peter, as we think about this subject of pride, Peter is kind of a picture of someone who struggled with pride. Someone said pride is the only disease that makes everyone else sick but the one who has it. It's the disease that makes everyone else sick but the one who has it. Peter has some strong elements of pride that are displayed in his life and in his story. I want to look at that today. As you look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew 16, verse 18, Peter has a tremendous amount of potential, but with that potential comes a great deal of pride. I want you to look at this formula that I've put together that I think that's from his story. Potential plus pride equals prohibitive. When pride is in our lives, it prohibits what God wants to do and is willing to do in our lives. He can do anything, right? But he's not going to use and work through proud vessels. So a great deal of potential, and sometimes when pride settles into that, it's prohibitive from God being able to work and use that. But, however, potential minus pride equals productive. God can do so much through someone. You know, we had the privilege of having Stan Key as our Bible teacher this year, and everywhere I went, you know, I was his host, and people would stop and talk to me about how great Stan was, and there was a common thread that came from almost everybody when they talked about Stan's preaching was, he's just so humble. You know, if you remember, if you weren't there, if you heard his introduction, his favorite character in the Bible was Balaam's donkey. He just described himself as Balaam's donkey. That's not a proud individual who's getting up and talking about all their accolades and all that kind of stuff. He was just humble. And when there's a great deal of potential and there's not pride there, it's a very productive thing. So since it's easier to recognize pride in someone else than it is to recognize in ourselves, right, then it's important to understand that maybe if we looked at a character in the Scripture that had some pride, that maybe we could learn some of the characteristics and some indicators of pride in someone's life. And I want to look at Peter's story today to see if we can't. I think there's 7 indicators of the life of Peter, of pride that was in his life. So let's look at these 7 indicators. Number 1, and again, if you don't, you may not be able to write all these down. I'm going to move kind of quickly today, but I think this is an interesting story. 7 indicators of pride in Peter's life. Number 1 is overconfidence. Anytime there's pride in someone's life, there's a tremendous level of overconfidence. Remember in Matthew 26, verses 33 through 35, you know, Jesus talks to him about betraying and the rooster crowing, all that kind of stuff. And here's Peter's overconfidence. I'll never. How'd that work out for you, Peter? Right? You know, like this over, like these guys may, I'll never. Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 18, and Proverbs 18, verse 12, that pride goes before a, finish the sentence for me, fall. Peter, I'll never. Overconfidence. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Every time, if pride is present in our lives, there will be a high level of overconfidence. Like, I can do this. I got this covered. We'll be fine. And every time you rely on that overconfidence, it is troubling. And Peter displays that for us. Number two, the second indicator of pride in Peter's life is a sense of prayerlessness. Remember in the garden, Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 26, 40 through 45, could you not watch and pray just 1 hour? So there's evidence in the story in Scripture that not only is Peter a bit overconfident in his story and his dependence upon his own gifts and strengths. Remember, he had tremendous potential. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. But there's a strong sense of overconfidence, and there's a sense of prayerlessness. He's not praying, and that's a key sign. One of the easiest ways to measure pride is by doing an audit of our prayer life. You know, like, do we get up? Have you ever had one of those days that was going to be so demanding, like, you didn't know how you were going to get through it, and you got up a little bit earlier, and you're like, God, I can't make it through this day without your help, or I've got this assignment today, I've got this challenge today, and I just, that should be the normal Christian life. It's kind of a dependence, but oftentimes we're like, eh, it's nothing big going on today. I got this one covered. Lord, you can kind of take a rest today. I don't need to declare my dependency upon you. There's a sense of prayerlessness. How much are you leaning into prayer to get you through today? If not completely, then it may be a sense of pride. Prideful people don't pray because prayer, by definition, requires humility. Therefore, they live their lives void of prayer, especially in the simplest of things. So they think, God doesn't need to be weighing in on this. They don't believe they need God's grace throughout their day because they are sufficient and of themselves. Proud people do not pray. Remember when God called Jonah to go to Nineveh? Jonah's response was not to go to God in prayer. Instead, he fled, his heart furiously and arrogantly was silent. He just thought, I'm not doing that. And he wasn't praying. He wasn't calling out to God. Pride prevents us from a dependency upon God. And every time there's pride in our life, there is a sense of overconfidence and there's a sense of prayerlessness. Number three, the third indicator about pride in Peter's life was a kind of a competitive and compulsive nature. Competitive and compulsive nature. Remember the story in John chapter 20, verses 3 and 4? Both Peter and John display a bit of a competitive. I think this is one of the funniest stories in all of Scripture, right? Like, there's this competition always between Peter and, I mean, he's overconfident. And he's trusting in himself. And I love John kind of gets the last word here because he's writing the Gospel of John. He's like, and by the way, I was a little faster than he was. I got there quicker, right? And now if you know someone who's prideful, man, like John's proud about that, and he's displaying a little bit of pride, but Peter is just irritated by that statement when it appears in the gospel because, man, he wants to come out on top, right? There's this competitive and compulsive nature. Prideful people love to win, and they hate when others do. It's one of the clearest indications that there's pride in our lives because do we rejoice with those who rejoice? Are we happy for those who are excited about something, or if we're proud and competitive and comparative people, do we like we're set off a little bit because God blessed them, or God gave them a gift, or God is using them in a particular way? It happens. Christians sometimes are the worst at this competitive, comparative nature, where like if God's not doing it for us, then we're not happy, we're not pleased because man, we wanted God to do that in us. I think about the Asbury revival that happened 2 years ago. And you heard me talk about this story in chapel one time about the speaker. No one was paying attention. But this great revival breaks out for 21 days. How many preachers were upset and jealous of the fact that that didn't happen when I was speaking? Why doesn't that happen? There's a competitive and compulsive nature in a lot of us that sometimes we feed it. Another great test to measure pride is, can you rejoice when someone else wins or something good happens to them? Are you jealous? Can you rejoice? If not, then it's a pride indicator. A competitive nature is combative to the spirit of humility. It's always at odds with. Compulsive. Remember Peter? He's like, there's a pride in him, like Jesus is about to be arrested, and he cuts off the servant soldier's ear. It just says, look, God, I'm here. Jesus, I'm here. I'll take care of this for you. You don't need to. I got you covered. It's a spirit of pride. It's reactionary. It's basically saying, I got this, I can handle this. It is prideful to believe that you have to help God out or that Jesus can't take care of this by himself. How many times in ministry and serving God do we step in going, okay, I'm going to have to take care of this, rather than simply and humbly trusting God? Number four, fault finding and finger pointing. It's a huge obstacle and pride in someone's life. Remember John 21, 20 and 22? Jesus is describing to Peter what you're going to have to suffer and the pain that you're going to go through. And what does he do? Rather than kind of receiving that, rather than maybe even asking a few questions, what does that mean? Remember, he turns around and goes, what about him? Remember, he's the one that was bragging a couple chapters ago that he beat me to the, you know, what about him? We're always pointing the finger at someone else rather than looking. It's an indicator of pride. Charles Spurgeon said, none are more unjust in their judgments of others than those who have a high opinion of themselves. Pointing the finger, always seeing the problem in someone else. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who are commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. It's a huge indicator of pride. Remember this prayer, the Pharisee and the publican? God, I thank you that I'm not like these individuals over here. Like, I may have my problems, but I thank God I'm not like them. I'm this low individual. And that prayer barely went to the ceiling. Number five, indicator of pride in Peter's life is more mindful of the things of men than the things of God. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 through 23, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this should ever happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Where's our time? Where's our focus? Where's our attention? People who have a strong sense of pride in their lives, they're completely focused on, what do others think? What do people think? About my position, about my title, about my role, about what I have accomplished. And it's always about me, 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 or the accolades of other people towards them, but not for someone who's humble. When your attention and focus is on earthly things, the pride of life is influencing us. When we're more interested in the approval of men than God's well done, there's a problem. When we love the praise of men more than the praises of God, as we see in the book of Acts, it's a problem. And note this, that the Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if our treasures are invested in what other people think or the things of this world, are totally missing what Peter would engage with and be in, with the Lord, Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, man. Because this is why get behind me, Satan? Because Satan's the author of pride. And his pride was standing in the way. How about this? Number six, defensive, argumentative, aggressive, and easily offended. I'll just chew on that sentence. That's a run-on kind of sentence, but it all makes sense with pride. This is all displayed in Peter's life. Defensive, he's argumentative, he's aggressive, and easily offended. John 18, verse 7, the girl asked him, aren't you one of his? No. He's aggressive. He's defensive. Like, he's knowing that if I say yes, maybe I'll be hanging on a fourth cross, or maybe my life will be disrupted. And he's argumentative and aggressive. And finally, there's more and more people. Three times he's asked, listen, your speech gives you away, or some other indicator that you're one of his followers. No, no. And by finally, the third time, he curses. He's defensive, offended. John 21, 17, through three times, Peter asked, do you love me? Three times, Peter was hurt. Remember this? You remember, he denied three times, and the Lord comes back, and he's kind of working out the kinks and this how this ended and trying to commission him. And so I love the fact that it just comes out in this strong image of like, Peter, Lord, why would you ask that to me? Like, I'm so committed. I messed up one time, but it's not that big a deal, right? And why are you continuing to zero in on this? And he was offended. Well, because people, and Peter displays for us, that people who have struggled with pride are defensive, argumentative, aggressive, and so easily offended. It could be a sign of pride in your life if a word of admonition is not received the same way a word of affirmation. Think about that. It could be a sign of pride in your life if a word of admonition is not received in the same way as a word of affirmation. It could be a sense of pride. Lastly, the last indicator is they're hypocritical. There's a level of hypocrisy. Galatians 2, verses 11 through 13, Paul has to confront Peter. Peter's the pillar in the church. He's got the potential, right? But he has the pride. And because he has the pride with it, minus the humility with it, minus pride, is a problem. It's a prohibitive thing rather than a productive thing in his life. Now, this is all going to get taken care of in a little bit once Peter has this encounter with the Lord. But Paul basically said, look, he's the pillar in the church. He's the rock which the church is going to be built on. But he was hypocritical. And when there's hypocrisy, when they're people pleasers, the desire of approval of men, they act differently around different groups of people. And that's what was happening with Peter. So let's take an inventory. And we can see it in other people. Sometimes we can't. We're oblivious to it. It's obvious in other people. So let's look at Peter's life and look at this list. Overconfidence, prayerlessness, competitive and compulsive, fault-finding and finger-pointing, more mindful of the things of men than the things of God, defensive, argumentative, aggressive, and easily offended, or hypocritical. Can you see it? Can you see how unproductive it is in our lives? Okay, let's stop looking at Peter, and let's look within. Search me, O God, and see if there would be any, let's not say wicked way, although it's sin. Is there any pride in my life? Are these qualities evident? Do they exist in my own life? Now, what do I do with it? Billy Graham said, pride comes in looking at ourselves. Meekness comes through looking at God. Some of the most gifted servants of the Lord had first to be broken of their pride before they could be set aside for the kingdom of God and the kingdom's usability. Pride is prohibitive to us being used by God. So Peter, he's a young Peter. I actually have a talk that I do on leadership of the four stages of Peter's leadership. And sometime I'd love to do that here. But for today, there's a difference between a young Peter. In fact, his name appears in the Gospels. He's in the book of Acts. He's in Galatians and then in the epistles. And so you see a different picture of him. So in the first and second Peter, there's a much wiser, much older Peter. And I think the biggest evidence of this is that he's gotten this pride issue under control. But listen to what he tells us. He sums up. Here's some conclusion. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. All of you, dress yourselves in humility. As you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor. Just imagine this. Like, this is a lifetime worth of experiences. This is the wisdom of Peter later on in his life, who displayed all these seven characteristics of pride, but now he's dealt with them. And this is what he wants to pass off to the younger generation. Dress yourselves in humility. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. I just want to leave you with this statement. God will not abide in our pride. As an organization, as a department, as an individual, as a follower of Christ, God will not abide in our pride. Let's pray. Father, would you take this simple study today and speak to us. Lord, I pray that as we look around the room, as we look at our CMDA staff and people associated with this, man, there's so much potential here. There's so much potential for good in this organization. Lord, I pray that if it's plus pride, that, Lord, you'd reveal that to us so that our lives and our ministry would not be unproductive, that the pride would not be prohibitive of what you want to do. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to deal with these things and be like Peter, who at the end of his life says, clothe ourselves, get dressed every day with the garments of humility. I pray that this message will convict, encourage, and help us to be followers of you to the best of our ability. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.